And now it's the Coach Vernon Dozier Show here at PhilHenryShow.com. I'm Father James McQuarters. I'll be the sidekick.
Okay, and hello everyone. It's Coach Vernon Dozier, and that is Father James McQuarters, and he is a sidekick, and he can be anything he wants because he's my boss at Belmar Academy, which is a college preparatory high school for boys and girls in Glendale, California. We also have a pretty good varsity football team. When we have a pretty good varsity football team.
We've come on some very difficult times the last couple of years, and we lost our second game this Friday night.
I didn't want to mention it, but no, I knew I had to mention it, but I did want to mention it. We lost to Father Grimm 40-25. We had a safety in there, and I can't even...
It was a difficult game to watch, but as you know, I move through the crowd talking to parents about the scholastic abilities of their children as well.
Right, so nobody's talking football.
By about the third quarter, no one's talking football, no. Well, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, Coach Dozier, you can't expect them to be interested in the game. At one point, the score, I think it was something like 33-0. And they just took their foot off the gas.
I don't think they... Are you telling me, Father Grimm? I know Bill Rusley, and he fights every step of the way.
All right, but it was 33-0. And then we scored how many points?
Then we scored 25, which included the safety on the... that one safety on that punt.
Right, that's the safety. I've heard about the safety.
Okay, what do you...
Well, I think we need more offense than safeties.
But we scored 25 consecutive points to their 7.
Well, right, when it wasn't enough.
No, it was not enough.
Right.
And so...
If you don't mind me saying, Coach... You were about to say maybe I do?
Yeah, I was...
Well, if you don't mind me saying, Coach...
No, I don't.
I think you've got to be a little bit more thick-skinned, because... I've listened to a lot of the people that do the programs here for Phil Henry. I've listened to the Margaret Gray and Bob Green, all of these people. And they all have got the thin skin. So may I suggest...
I'm not here to... please, Father, forgive me for saying this, but I'm not here to be them. I'm not comparing my life to theirs. To compare my life... I know Bob Green. Bob Green has the grocery store, right?
Well, he's got about 25 grocery stores. He's the CEO of a large grocery chain.
Okay, but when push comes to shove, and at the end of the day, when the sun's gone down and Ma's pulled the curtains and she's done the dishes and she's getting ready to go in and... I don't think I should... I'm talking out of school. She's getting ready to go in and have a post-dinner dump or...
See, that was unnecessary.
I'm sorry, but you know what? At the end of the day...
At the end of the day what?
At the end of the day, what I do, as opposed to some guy who's a grocery store clerk...
As I said, he's a CEO.
All right. Well, I'm glad that I'm who I am.
And that's a good thing, Vernon. You should be happy with who we are. We don't want to be unhappy with who we are. I'm just saying to you that a lot of these people, I'm comparing you favorably.
No, I know. You're saying that I should be more thick-skinned.
Yes, be more thick-skinned, because the rest of these people are very thin-skinned.
Well, it's hard to be, because...
I know. You've always been a great coach for us. You've been a perennial winner for us. We've fallen in some tough times the last 2-3 seasons. And, well, it might be a good time to talk about it. Why do you think that is? You don't want to talk about
it. No, I told Phil. First of all, Father, please forgive me. I didn't know you'd be doing this much talking, but that's okay.
Okay, so you're going to do all the talking, is that it?
Because it's called the Vernon Dozier Show, that's why.
No, I know it's called the Vernon Dozier Show, but it seems like you need help. All right, go ahead.
I don't need any help.
You're doing fine, but it seems like you need to pick it up, make it more interesting. That's all I'm saying, you know.
You see, you got a little bit of a thick tongue. Were you having a sherry?
I had a sherry, yes. Who cares? Shh. Who cares? This is life. This is life. I had a sherry.
You had a sherry? You had some of that Tokay, or what is it called?
I don't drink Tokay. I drink either port wine or sherry. Tokay. Oh, God. That's what hobos are on a campfire.
Well, all right. Forgive me, Father McQuarters. Yeah, we lost, folks. We lost big to Father Grimm at home. That's our second home loss. We lost our first game to Whig Institute 20-10, and that also was a home game. So
it's a tough one. It's a tough season, but I think we're going to do very, very well. I think we're going to do a lot better than we imagined.
Well, I hope so, Father McCordis. I certainly do hope so. I wanted to talk, though, about that UCLA-Washington State. Nobody talked about it on the Phil Hendry show or any of the other shows, not to the extent that I liked it. And I wanted to talk about that game because it was a blowout. It wasn't even a blowout. It was one team blew it out, and the other team blew.
Well, the other, yes, one team thought they had it blown out, and then the other team comes along, and then they blow it out, you know.
Right. It was like a double blowout. And at first, it looked like Washington State had blown them out, and it was 47-19 or 45-19, I think, some at the end of the third quarter. And then along comes UCLA, and the next thing you know, UCLA scores something like 47 of their own points in the third quarter. It was unbelievable, or not 47? What did I say? 20? They scored another 27 points, but that wasn't, you know, Washington State came along.
It was very unusual. It was a very high-scoring game, and I don't think they've had that kind of a score in college football for quite some time.
No, they haven't, and here's the thing about a score like that. It may be entertaining, but by God, it is. It's embarrassing to all of us associated with football. Now, there was a time in football when teams would run up scores like that because you had a lot of schools that were playing other schools. They had no real idea of how good each one was, and you had a very strong school come along play a very weak school, and you had these 73-0 scores. There was a score in the National Football League, if you can believe that. That's how I didn't want to say unprofessional.
You're talking about the Chicago Bears and the Washington Redskins, right?
Yes, the Bears and Redskins in 1940, I think, was the year. 73-0, the Bears beat the Redskins. And one of the reasons is the Bears had introduced the T formation or the...
Well, I think they introduced the pro set.
Right. Why do you know so much? You're a priest, you know.
I like football, and I hired you. We wanted to have a good football... What's the story?
I don't know, but that's all of a sudden you got, like, more knowledge than I do. Anyway.
I don't think I have more knowledge. I love football. I love to talk football, the strategy, and so on and so forth.
All right. Well, as Father McCorders indicated, it was 73-0. It was the Chicago Bears beat the Washington Redskins. Now, in that game, if I'm remembering properly, the Chicago Bears introduced either the T formation or the pro set, which is the quarterback over center set.
It was a formation that
Well, do you know, or are you just trying to be?
I'm the commentator, right?
Yeah, but you don't. This is not a football game, Coach. Every one of the shows that Phil Hendry show.
Every one of the shows that he produces.
Every one of the shows that Phil Hendry produces, the regular host, which would be me, and the commentator, the sidekick, which is you, they always get into it because the sidekick thinks his stuff doesn't...
You're saying that I don't think my stuff smells.
Well, you think you know everyone I hear. Forget it.
Well, you're talking... I don't know about the other guys.
Yeah, I'm always hearing, sidekicks on other shows, except for that one guy, August Silson, who his sidekick is an imaginary person that he turned out to be a bag of Cheetos or something. Did you hear that?
Whoa, what are you talking about?
Hey, listen, man, it was on... Go back and listen to some of those shows. One of them was a sex god, or, you know, he was a sex expert, and his sidekick or his second-in-command or whoever, he was talking to her, it, him. I don't know.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm telling you the truth. You don't... I won't have...
Don't clench your fist or don't, you know, give me that whole Italian... Ba-ba kind of thing, you know, because it makes me think you want me to wet my beak, but you're going to put a bullet behind my ear. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I do not. This is the Coach Vernon Dozier show, and...
Vernon Dozier, not Dozier.
I know what my name is.
You may know what your name is, but you, this is what I do. I have to correct you, because you're like...
Like a school chat. Anyway, this is Coach Vernon Dozier here on the Phil Hendry, you know...
PhilHendry.com.
PhilHendry.com. And I wanted to talk about, so we're talking about UCLA 67, Washington 63. Now, this is a game, like I said, that's over a week old. So nobody got it. I didn't get into it last week. I didn't even tweet about it, I don't think. Or yes, I did. There were a couple of games, though. Two West Coast teams, Cal and San Jose State, went down south. San Jose State beat Arkansas, and Cal beat Ole Miss.
Now, those are two. That's a feather in the cap, not only to California schools. It's a feather in the cap to West Coast football.
Yes, it is. It's a feather in the cap to anybody that can beat an SEC team, thus making the statement that the SEC is not God's gift to football like they all think they are down there, for one thing. But secondly, it sort of reasserts California football, which I'm from Texas, and you would think I wouldn't have a, you know, I wouldn't have a dog in this fight, but I've been coaching high school football here for a number of years. And I know that California football is very good. The numbers of Hall of Fame players that have come out of the state of California are impressive, especially quarterbacks, because they always talk about Pennsylvania. So seeing those two California teams beat those two Southern teams was so sweet. And I suppose I could say that I got a little bit of a personal thing, because my sister married Grady Albrin, who was one of the assistant coaches over there at Arkansas. And I never did like him. I mean, I like you, Grady, as far as it goes, but I don't, to marry my sister, that's going, that went above and beyond. That demanded of me things I've never been to.
That was a tough one for you, huh?
It was.
And why was that?
I didn't like him. But, you know, there are guys you like, there's guys you don't. Then the guy comes along and marries my sister. And then I'm thinking about what he's...
You're thinking about what he's doing with your sister.
Not to the extent the way you're saying it, Father, because I can see you kind of half laughing.
No, I am not half laughing. You have a problem with this man, not because you think he's abusing your daughter, your sister, but because the mere fact that he's with her.
I don't like this guy. And number two, he's from Arkansas. Number three, he's married to my sister. And number four, late at night.
Wow.
Now, Father, it's not like that.
Wow. Boy.
It's not. What are you, boy? Wow.
Well, you're late at night. You're thinking about what this guy's doing to your sister.
No. Let me explain. When I lay myself down to sleep at night, and I like to think that I've got the day's problems set aside.
As we all should do. You should put everything in perspective.
Exactly, Father. And I try to do that because that's something you taught me. Make sure that you put the day's problems to rest, and that way you could close your eyes and sleep. And I've got all the day's problems put to rest, and then I'm thinking about what Grady Alberman is doing with my sister. Right about, and I'll look at the clock, and I'll go, yeah, it's, and you know, it's 2 hours ahead in Arkansas, so I'll be going to bed, say, 10 o'clock. It's midnight in Arkansas, and that guy is with my sister, and they're married.
What about it, man?
What do you mean, what about? You just told me to get it off my chest.
Yeah, I know, and I want you to get it off your chest, but what do you...
I don't like him.
I know you don't like him, but what...
He's from Arkansas, you see? So you automatically get the idea that he's grabbing your sister by her ankles. I don't know.
Oh, come on, will you?
Well, it's one of the... Ask any guy whose sister is married to a guy from the South, and the first thing you'll think of is he's grabbing her by her ankles and going, I don't know.
What, making hog sounds? Goddamn, dude. You think that...
No, I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say it, but you're thinking it, aren't you? Yeah, he is. What a sicko.
May I remind you, Father, that we're on the air.
I know that, Vernon, and I'm saying it sort of with tongue... Well, not really with tongue-in-cheek, because... You're laying there at night after you've put the day's problems away.
Correct.
Okay. And you lay there, and as Father McQuarters used to say to you, lay there, close your eyes, and all the problems are gone, and you can go to sleep.
Yes.
And what you see instead is Grady Alberman holding your sister by her ankles and going, yee-hoo!
Shit. I didn't want to have to put it that way.
No, I did. Because this is the world you live in, Vernon. This is now the world you live in. You have sealed yourself into a pit of filth, you see.
I do not obsess over it. All I'm telling you, this was to lead up to something.
How did we get on this topic? We're talking football.
Yes, we're talking football. We're talking about West Coast football. And we're talking about SEC football. And we're talking about some of the prejudices that we have regionally and some of the the competitions down through the years. And there have been many, and they've been very interesting. There was a Rose Bowl once, I think, between USC and Georgia. There have been games. USC went to Alabama and played them in the early 70s and beat their brains in, which everybody thought was such a great thing until they realized that Alabama didn't have any black players. And USC came down there.
Well, now, what do you say? Are you saying that black people are better at sports?
No, I'm just saying that they limited the talent pool. Let me put it to you that way, okay? Alabama limited the talent pool. They did not, access the entire talent pool that they had. And as a result, if you're only selecting certain players and you're ignoring other players because of their race, you may be ignoring players that are very good. You could be ignoring players that are very bad. But the odds are you're missing out on a few good ones. And when you're drawing from the entire talent pool, no matter what the color of the player, odds are you're going to have a better football team than a team that is cutting themselves off at a certain point and only drafting white players. That's what Alabama was doing in those days, and that's why USC went down there to Birmingham and destroyed them, basically.
Now, that was the game that you were telling me that the USC players went down there carrying guns.
Some of the players did have guns, yeah. How'd you hear about that?
It was in that documentary that...
Well, yes, there was a very good documentary on the Crimson Tide USC football game from, I forget the year, but it was the early 70s. And this was a game that Coach Bear Bryant wanted. He wanted USC to come down there. He was very good friends with John McKay, who was the head coach at USC. And he wanted USC to come down there. And as I read this, and I think it was an article in Esquire magazine.
It was either in Esquire or Bathroom Special, one of those men's magazines, you know.
Wait a minute. No, it was. It was in Esquire.
It was either in Esquire, it wasn't in Play Doll or Rubber Doll magazine.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Because it was not a mainstream article.
Well, it might not have been a mainstream article, but I read it in Esquire. A whole breakdown of that game. USC went to Birmingham, and they, first of all, the bus came from the airport through the black neighborhood or the African-American neighborhood of Birmingham, and the USC players were cheered, okay?
That would stand to reason.
Right, they were cheered. So it was almost like it was a home game for USC in some respects, because the black citizens of Birmingham had turned out to cheer on the USC team as it had come in from the airport. Number two, I don't know how many, of the black USC players, I think one of them was Sam Bam Cunningham. Speaking of the New England Patriots, Sam Cunningham was a Patriot, and before that, a Trojan. He packed heat, and there are a few other guys who were packing.
So these young players, these young men, came into that city carrying weapons because they feared that perhaps they could be at risk there from the so-called racists. And
that's exactly right, yeah.
And then the Ku Klux Klan and that kind of thing.
That's exactly right.
My God.
Yeah. And so that was sort of the setup. That was the... But this game had been planned, I don't know how many months before, by Bear Bryant and John McKay. And Bear Bryant, according to the article...
Now, this was in... What was it? It was in Baby Doll or... I didn't mean... Not
Baby Doll, Esquire.
Okay. And this was the article.
This was the article that occurred. But actually, this was also... In the game narration, and I forget who narrated the game, narrated the film, but they were talking about Bear Bryant and John McKay, and I think they met at that restaurant there on Sunset, or excuse me, on Wilshire Boulevard back in the day. Can't remember the name of it. It ain't Chasen's, but it was one of those.
Well, Chasen's is still around.
I know Chasen's, but this was a different one. But they sat down and... You imagine Bear Bryant and John McKay having dinner together. Naturally, they attracted attention. Frank Sinatra was in there that night.
All the big names. So, and they all knew Bear Bryant, huh?
Well, they all wanted to meet him, if they hadn't already. So these guys are drifting by the table. Hello, coach. You know, how you doing? Hey, nice to meet you. But as these two coaches hammered it out, Bryant wanted this game. He wanted, and he told John McKay, I want you guys to come down and play us in Birmingham early part of the season. And I don't know if he articulated this to John McKay or not, but his reasoning was that he wanted SC to come down there and beat their brains in to show the alumni and to show the University of Alabama administration, admissions, and all the so-called brainiacs that ran a school what their football team had become as a result of this playing a segregated, having a segregated team.
So, if I've got you correctly, Alabama was willing to risk their reputation as a football power and be humiliated on the field as Douglas MacArthur called it, on the field of friendly strife.
Yes, Father, that's right.
You never heard that?
That's the first time I've heard it. It's very nice.
It's more than very nice. It is. Actually, it wasn't MacArthur. It's what is University of, what's the name of it? Army?
Yeah, Army.
Yeah. The, it says, on the field of friendly strife are sown the seeds that on other fields, on other days, bear the fruit of victory.
Yay!
What do you think of that, huh?
Very nice, yeah. Say it again.
Say what again?
What you just said.
On the field of friendly strife.
Oh, yeah. On the field of friendly strife are sown the seeds that on other fields and other days bear the fruits of victory. That's very beautiful. That was MacArthur?
No, that was just, that's at West Point. I thought it was MacArthur.
Anyway, so
the game is set, and USC comes to Birmingham, Alabama, and beats their ass.
Beats their ass. I mean, I don't know what the score was. There were some very good Alabama football players in the field that day. One of them was John Hanna. There's another player that went on to play for the Patriots. John Hanna, Sam Bam Cunningham. There were some good football players on that field, even for Alabama. But, they taught him a lesson. So there have been all kinds of wiggy, wacky things. I don't know how we got into this.
Well, you're talking about, you mentioned Cal and Mississippi.
Well, right. Well, so this past 2 weekends ago, I should say, because it was such a big, weird weekend in college football, that San Jose State beats the Razorbacks. That's right away a major upset. San Jose State is a California State University. It's not a Division I school. And then you had University of California, Berkeley, beating Ole Miss. Now that brings us to the game that I was talking about, and that was the UCLA-Wazoo game. And we're going to give you some of the in-depth background on that. We'll also talk to Snooki Watson, who was there covering the game for the Vernon Dozier Show. And we'll talk about all of that mess when we come back here on the Vernon Dozier Show.
This is the Vernon Dozier Show here on PhilHenryShow.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Vernon Dozier, and I'm head coach of the Belmar Academy Slaughterhouse, reminding you that you can pick up your own memorabilia merchandise of the Belmar Academy Slaughterhouse by visiting the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. And you go to the merch store. When you go there, you can pick up one of our home jerseys or one of our away jerseys for both men and women. So when you go out and watch the Belmar Academy Slaughterhouse, or maybe you don't go and watch the Belmar Academy Slaughterhouse, maybe you don't know where to go to watch that, maybe you don't live in California, it doesn't make any difference. Wear your Belmar Academy Slaughterhouse jersey with pride by getting it at the Phil Henry Show website merch store. Go to the homepage, look for the tab where all the stuff is. I don't know, it's different on the cell phone as it is on a desktop, but you'll find it, and it'll say merch, and you go in there, and don't buy any of the other, I mean, you should, but I'd like you to just concentrate on buying our stuff because, okay, and then you go back in and buy the other garbage or the other things. That's the Belmar Academy Slaughterhouse with the official colors of the team, and I'm not sure what they are, red and white or red and blue. I think it's red, white, and blue, to be honest with you.
Yes, it's the Belmar Academy Slaughterhouse memorabilia and memorial jerseys. You can pick up the men's or the women's versions at the Phil Henry Show website merch stores at philhenryshow.com. What a deal.
And now, welcome back to the Vernon Dozier Show.
And this is the Vernon Dozier Show. I'm Father James McCorders from Belmar Academy, thanking Phil Henry and everyone at the Phil Henry Show website for giving us this time to have our show.
I now get Snooki Watson on the line, and Snooki was in Washington. And where was the game played, Snook?
Well, it was in Corvallis, Washington.
Corvallis is in Oregon.
Oh, yeah. No, it was in Pullman.
Pullman, Washington.
Yeah, it was important, Martin Stadium, and it was, well, I'll tell you, it was a really weird game. I got very nervous about it.
Now, why did you get nervous?
Well, you got to get nervous. You see that many points being scored. I thought the world was ending. I don't know.
Why would you think that, Snooki?
I don't know, Father. Just how, when you go to a football game or something like that, and you see that kind of scoring happen, and you're used to seeing normal scoring, 14-7, 21-10, but then it was 67. I looked up and I saw the score, and I thought, God help me, you know.
So you're serious? You thought the world was ending?
I thought there was some kind of a weird phenomenon, yeah.
Snooki, at the end of the game there, I know they were going for it on fourth downs, and they were All kinds of. There didn't seem to be any defense at all.
No, they were too tired or something. There was also the fear that you know, at some point they might score too many points, and that would be that would trigger something. I don't even know that if they knew what it was that it would trigger. But see, at the end of the third quarter, it was normal. It was just a big blowout football game. Then UCLA came back. And that's when I think Washington State sort of went into a ball and feared what lay ahead, you know. And
what are you talking about?
I'm just these are the prejudices and the fears and the weird superstitions that came up in me when I was watching the team play, and I can't describe it any other way. But finally, when it got to be the final score, 67-63, I began to just think, oh my God, you know.
Like it was unnatural.
Like it was an unnatural phenomenon of some kind, yeah. And I couldn't explain it, so I left the stadium and just walked the streets for hours, thinking it was one of the most devastating experiences of my life. It was something that I had never been through before, and I was lost in thought for hours. I took notes.
What do you think you saw, Snooki? It was a football game, okay? You're not watching Miles Davis at the bottom line or something.
Father, I'm just telling you that I was profoundly moved by, as a sports reporter, you may, because you love jazz, think Miles Davis is the end-all and the be-all. I love sports. I love football. So when I see a performance like that, it is devastating to me. And I take notes, and I walk the streets, and I sit in coffee bars, and I wear a turtleneck and a...
You wear a turtleneck, and you wear a beanie, and you wear...
Yeah, you know.
All right, so, boy, are you guys weird. This is just how we respond to football. So, at 67-63, it was one of the most high-scoring games. Did you happen to look up the statistics on this thing?
I didn't. I was afraid to. I'm going to have to assume...
You were too busy writing poetry.
I was very consumed with the devastating experience of this thing. But I'll look up the game if you want me to.
No, it's not necessary, Snook. Listen, stand by. Snooki Watson on the line with us here. I'm Father. My name is Father James McQuarters.
No, I'm Father James McQuarters.
I know. I'm kidding. I am Coach Vernon Dozier, and that's Father James McQuarters. Got Snooki Watson on the line here from. He's not still in Pullman. Hey, Snooki, you're not still in Pullman, are you?
What's that?
Are you still in Pullman?
Oh no. I'm back home in Corvallis. That's where I live and work. That's why I got confused.
You live in Corvallis, Oregon?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, will you?
Yeah.
So what we have is an extraordinary football game with all of that scoring that took place. And here you got a guy that was, he was, you know.
It was almost apocalyptic for him, wasn't it? It was almost transcendent.
Yeah, transcendent. So here are my thoughts. I believe that things are getting out of hand. We got more home runs being hit in Major League Baseball than ever before. I don't know how many, 6,000, 8,000 home runs being hit. We have got...
6,000?
That's what somebody told me, like 10,000 home runs. More home runs than you could ever imagine. Then you have... That's what I heard. Is that wrong or is that right?
I don't believe... 6,000 home runs? How many players do they have in Major League Baseball?
Well, look it up, man.
6,760.
Wait a minute. Wait. How many?
6,776 homers, 11% above the previous record.
And what was the previous record?
The previous record, I think, was it'd be 2017.
And how many dingers in 2017?
6,105. So if you can imagine that.
So they beat the record by 500 home runs. So that's what I'm saying. Offense obviously is a part of the game in baseball because they tweaked the baseball. They actually moved the center of the baseball slightly, and that all had all the, made all the difference in the world. Now you have these football games. Look at the pro game, emphasizing offense, but 67-63. That's a complete breakdown of defense. If I was the defensive coordinator for either one of those teams, I'm not saying they should do this. I'm saying I would do this because this is how damaged I am, Father.
Now, what are you getting into?
Hold on, because it's never going to happen to me. I'd commit suicide.
Now, wait just a minute.
I'm telling the audience, that, you know, it hasn't happened to me and it won't happen. No team is ever going to run up 67 points on a Vernon Dozier defense. Don't you worry your pretty little head about that.
But I don't like the idea of you expressing the willingness to commit a mortal sin against yourself and God, by saying you commit suicide.
I'm sorry, Father. I haven't committed the sin.
But by expressing a desire to commit that sin, you've committed venial sin. Not a mortal sin, but a venial sin. And that means purgatory.
So what is it with purgatory anyway? So I go to is purgatory like eating at McDonald's instead of like a...
It's sort of like eating at McDonald's instead of In-N-Out. Yeah, why?
Okay, so I can live with that.
Oh, yeah, right.
Big deal. What? Why do you think...
I'm telling you, Vernon, now, that purgatory... Pardon us, folks. We were going to talk sports.
And we still will talk sports.
Right, but I want to get this clear with Vernon. You are a teacher at a Catholic high school.
I understand that.
You don't have to be Catholic to teach at our school, which you're not, but you must observe the liturgy and the Catholic tenets and understand that purgatory is not seeing the face of God right away. It's not going to hell, but you are in a purgatory. It means you are working out your sins so that you one day will look the face of God. You will look at the face of God in heaven.
All right, I understand that.
And you're telling me what?
You said to me purgatory was like eating at McDonald's.
That's right, and heaven is In-N-Out Burger, or let's call it, what's the best burger? Johnny Rockets.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you saying?
I'm saying to you that Johnny Rockets is fantastic. In-N-Out Burger is fantastic. All those, you know, Five Guys.
Five Guys? Oh.
Hey, Father, I'm using that as an example.
All right. Oh, baby.
Hey, Father, have you ever had a Five Guys burger?
Have I ever had Five Guys?
No. I said a Five Guys burger.
I'm kidding around, no.
So, they're good. But if I only had to eat McDonald's...
You're saying no sweat.
Are you kidding?
Oh, boy, do I feel... It's almost like I don't want you coaching for us.
What are you talking about, man? Let's get it off this kick, okay?
All right. But purgatory, in many ways, is like watching a 67 to 63 football game. Because you want to see a lot of... You want to see great football. You want to see an exciting game. And you want to see a lot of scoring. But you also know you're looking at the dregs. You're looking at a substandard product. You're looking at something that you shouldn't have to be looking at, really.
All right, now that's an interesting discussion. If I go to a football game and I see the score 67-63 and my team won, I'll be happy. I'll be happy that I went to see a game like that, but I certainly will not be happy, especially if I'm the head coach, that I watched a defensive display like that. And that's what I was trying to say to you.
You're trying to say to me that you'd blow your brains out.
If I'm a football coach and I care, and my team gives up 63 points, my desire would be to blow my brains clean out of my skull. Now, you're telling me...
I'm saying that you could go to purgatory. I'm not saying necessarily... No, you would go to hell if you blew your brains out.
And I'm saying I would never do that because no team would ever run up 63 points on me.
Right, but I told you that thinking about it is a venial sin, and if you die with a venial sin on your mind, or on your soul, I should say... And you die with Georgia on your mind and a venial sin on your soul, you know.
Okay, Father, that's very, very funny.
If you die with a venial sin on your soul, you go to purgatory. And yes, it's like eating. And you're telling me, big deal, huh?
If that...
You know, that really pisses me off.
Well, look at Father, if I can take eating McDonald's...
You could... If you knew that heaven... Hold on. If you knew that heaven was Five Guys or Johnny Rockets... And you sit down to a, what do they do? The other day, Father Staley got a double quarter pounder, and they said it was deluxe, which meant they just slathered on the mayo, and it slid down. Ah, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you went to McDonald's, didn't you?
Hold on, I'm dry heaving. Yeah.
You went to McDonald's, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Here, here's a napkin.
Thank you. Yes, I did.
Okay. And you had that double quarter pounder deluxe and the mayo and everything.
There was mayo down the front of me. There was mayo down the front of Staley. It was foul. It looked like he took one right off the chin. Here's what you sound like.
excuse me. That was you laughing.
No, that was you laughing.
Okay.
I see. You're going to move past it because you're the bigger man.
Right now, yes, Father, I am. This is Vernon Dozier along with Father James McQuarters, and we are recapping some of the more interesting football games. This past weekend in the National Football League, the Los Angeles Rams got their rear ends handed to them, something like 55 to, what the hell was that?
Yeah, the Rams lost 55 to 40, and rumbling to a touchdown were one of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers there toward the end of the game as Jared Goff went back to pass and got his ass handed to him. And
yeah, he fumbled the ball. Take a look at those old Bears. You see those Bear throwback uniforms?
I saw those, yes.
The Bears were wearing their throwback uniforms this week, and I think the Packers wore theirs last week. The Packers lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, so Carson Wentz looks like he's back in good form there, and Coach Peterson's got everything. They may have everything going. The Bears are 3-1, having defeated the Minnesota Vikings 16-6. And they were playing that game, I think, in Minnesota. Or was it? I don't know where the hell they were playing it.
It looked well. The Bears are in their whites. So that was had to be Minnesota.
This is the 100th season, by the way. Excuse me, I just lisped.
It's the 100th season of the National Football League.
100th season of the National Football League. It seems like only yesterday, Father McQuarters, that we were looking at that big number 50 on the jerseys of the Minnesota Vikings.
Ah, yes, we're talking about the culmination of the 1969 season, 50 years ago today, well, not today, but 50 years ago this season, that the National Football League, played their 50th season, and the American Football League played their 10th season.
And they had a little tin patch on their jerseys. But in the Super Bowl that year, it was the 50-year-old National Football League, the Minnesota Vikings, playing against the Kansas City Chiefs of the American Football League, and the Chiefs upset the Vikings there in New Orleans.
And the irony of all of that was Minnesota was originally supposed to be an American Football League franchise, and they just went road. They retired on active duty, man. They went road on me. Shit.
Well, were you counting on that or something?
I was, because at the time, I had just come to America, and I was living in Boston, Massachusetts, and I was a huge Viking fan. And
now, why were you a Viking fan?
I didn't want to be a Boston Patriot fan, but someone told me the Vikings were going to be an American Football League team, and they did not become an AFL team, that they all of a sudden ran out of guts at the 11th hour, and they threw in with the NFL, and that meant, guess who joined the American Football League?
Oakland.
Oakland it was. They got the Oakland Raiders, and of course, the Oakland Raiders have been, in their own way, much more legendary a team than the Vikings.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I would, because guess who's won Super Bowls and guess who hasn't? Oh, shit. Hey, Father, sorry.
Well, that's a good point. So the Vikings today were winners, and the Oakland Raiders were winners, and the Kansas City Chiefs were winners today as they defeated, I believe. Did they defeat the Lions or not?
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at it right now. There was a fumble of the play, and the Vikings picked up the ball and ran it in for a touchdown. I have no idea.
It looks to me like the Chiefs won the game. But here we are in the third quarter, 3 minutes left. The pass, beautiful pass there by whoever that guy is.
The quarterback.
Right. And now here we go. 27-23, the Lions score it. Touchdown, Detroit. Wait a minute, 27-30. Here come the, look at this. The game's not over. They got a minute 49 to go. The Chiefs rallying here, trying to get up to the line of scrimmage. Andy Reid trying to get his team organized on the 1 yard line. The give up the middle. The Chiefs score it. Touchdown, Chiefs. They win the goddamn game.
You want to watch your fucking language? This has been the Vernon Dozier Show on the Phil Henry Show website with me, Father James McQuarters.
Sorry, folks, about the language.
Join us again next time for another exciting look behind the scenes of amateur and professional football with the Vernon Dozier Show.
Vernon Dozier Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
Jesus.
Oh, who's playing the horn?